Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I pray and trust that you are having a great Monday morning. I know Monday morning sometimes can be a little bit of a challenge to get up and get moving and going, but hopefully you're getting up and are getting ready to have a great start to an amazing week in your intentional summer, right? Remember, we talked about all of that, of having that intentional summer. Well, man, we had a great service yesterday at Hope City Church. If you missed it, all of that will be available on our website and social media platforms just a little bit later on today. But man, you missed a great service, a great time of worship. But it's not too late. You can catch up on all of it and stay encouraged, stay in faith, and see what God is doing. So again, I want to welcome all of our viewers who are watching really all around the world. On all of our platforms, in particularly Pioneer Television Network, all of the social media platforms, the James Epperly Show, and of course, today we are welcoming back our TikTok Live family who's joining us as well. I did want to note, because some people have asked me this weekend, they said, hey, when we go to watch Pioneer Television Network app, we got to put in an email address. What's going on? Yep. So, as you remember, about a month ago, we had to renegotiate to upgrade our system here for Pioneer Television. And a part of that is one thing that we wanted to do was be able to connect with our viewers and know who's watching. And so we decided to add in the feature to be able to collect email addresses for our viewers by just asking them to put in an email address to set up a free account. So that it just gives us a little bit more of a way to connect with our viewers and let them know all the exciting stuff that's happening behind the scenes. So when you go to watch Pioneer Television Network, it's just a one-time thing. So of course, if you watch it on multiple devices, every device you put in that email address, but one time on the device that you're watching from, you got to put in your email address. but it's a free account. It doesn't ask for credit cards or anything like that. It just put in your email address and then it'll take care of the rest. So we're excited about that feature again, because we are able just to see, you know, our viewers and what's going on with that. So, but if you're watching this morning on a platform that you can like, comment, share, go ahead and do all of that. Let me know that you're watching, like the broadcast, comment, and share it with your friends. Good morning, Paula. Good to see you. Good to be with you this morning. So I was a little tossed about where to go this morning, and not without a lack of direction, but there's just too many directions. Good morning, Jen. Good to see you. two dueling sermons or directions for today. And so we're going to hit one, and then maybe later on in the week we can dive into the other. But, you know, when I think about summer and just kind of the, you know, vacations, and that's kind of where we are, and you know, just that season of that. And I just try to think, Lord, what can we share to help encourage us kind of in this season where people I don't want to say pull back, but you know, you kind of just go into a different mental mode. And I'm not sure that all of that is wrong. You know, it's God wants us to rest, He wants us to vacation, He wants us to make summer plans. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. But, you know, I just think, you know, inevitably we kind of change our mindset a little bit, if you will. And so as I was praying about that, I got kind of two directions, but we're going to hop into the first one. And the first one, I want to talk about the spirit of a pioneer, the spirit of a pioneer. And in Romans 15, this was the foundational scripture for when we started Hope City Church 10 years ago. Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he says, all of this has been pioneering work. And we know the scripture where Jesus said, I am the author or pioneer, another version says, of your faith. And so we took that scripture, and that's before we had the Pioneer Television Network. And we kind of made it a foundation of Hope City Church. And later on in the scripture, it says that the God of hope which is where then we got Hope City Church from. And then it wasn't until years after that that we ended up with Pioneer Television Network. But I'm saying all that to say is when we started the ministry, we knew that one of the core values of this house would be having a pioneering spirit. You might say, well, what's a pioneering spirit? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit. And I think it's really been, if I would have to describe Hope City Church and, you know, obviously Pioneer Television Network and all the ministries that we offer, what's kind of that core theme? Like if I remove myself and I thought about Hope City Church, I would think about that pioneering spirit. And even if you just kind of look at our journey over the last 10 years, you know, just, you know, three building remodels, and that's a lot. And most churches would say, no, we're not doing that. But every step of the way, we've had a group of people who have just never shied away from saying, yes, we will step up. Yes, we will pioneer new territories. And it's not obviously just buildings, but places and things in the spirit. So I want to encourage you in that and kind of gather around that theme today of having a pioneering spirit in your own life. Because I do wholeheartedly believe that if you are going to accomplish anything for God, right, you're going to have some level of a pioneering spirit. And personally, I think the greater level of a pioneering spirit that you have, the more you are able to accomplish for God. Well, how can I say that? Well, because when you are following God and the things of God and doing what he's asked you to do, the more you are willing to step out into the unknown, into new territory. You know, we hear this terminology of pioneering, and we kind of hit our heads against that a little bit when we started Pioneer Television Network. And in some of our devices, we theme it as the Pioneer Channel. And a lot of people, you know, I think when they see that, they assume it's some kind of Western, you know, shows or, you know, kind of that, because you get that mentality, you know, saddle the wagons, we're pioneering. So you kind of get that. That's why we actually changed the logo from just our letters to now it has the dove, so that hopefully when people see Pioneering Channel or the Pioneer Network, is that they will see the dove and hopefully realize that it's not saddle your wagons, but Christian media. But anyway, but you get that imagery in your mind. And I think for a good reason is because, you know, in early American days, you know, where territories that were left unexplored, open, new grounds, new lands, new cities to build. And it was those people who, you know, just were like, hey, I don't want to stay on the East Coast. And we were building cities on the East Coast, but they knew there were new territories to take and new ground to claim. And, you know, just the thought process. And it took a unique kind of person to say, hey, we're going to saddle up our wagons and we're going to gather the horses and we are going to leave the comfort of what we know here on the East Coast. And we are going to travel west into that unknown, unclaimed territory. And it's going to be rough. It's going to risk our lives. It's going to take every ounce of effort that we have to make it happen. But the reward, man, if you were able to get out there and you were able to claim that land because it was unclaimed, man, you could get acres and acres and acres of land. Why? Because if you were able to get out there and put your stake into the ground, that meant that it was yours, right? So the reward was great. Like, you know, you hear of the gold rush, right? And in California and you know, all of that happened. Like the risk was high, but the reward was great. Like not everybody was going to make it, but those that did, man, you could claim some ground. You could potentially find gold. You know, it would change the course of a family's history. Like a family who was, you know, in a small little apartment or a house over on the East Coast had the ability to go and claim acres of land that would change the course of many families for generations. Why? Because the more it became developed, the acreage became more expensive and more valuable. And, you know, they could sell it off. They could develop it. It would literally change the trajectory of a family for those who had the ability to leave the comfort of where they were and go out west. Now, I pretty much think we've conquered the West. And I pretty much think we've discovered what there is to be discovered land-wise, right? But that same spirit of a pioneer that would challenge those who would go into the unknown, if you will, and risk it all to gain new ground, I believe is what God is looking for in the church today. In the body of Christ, there have been multiple movements, if you will. And I don't like to call them movements. I like to call them God revealing himself to a generation in a particular way. You know, we understand that we can try to discover all that God is and never come to completion. And over the generations, God has revealed himself to the church as a healer, as that Holy Spirit Pentecost, right? As if you know, the God of compassion, if you really look at the Mennonites and what they do and how great they are at responding to crises around the world, just, you know, in every denomination, there's a piece of God and who he revealed himself to be to people. But what I think happens, and especially in many denominations, is they get stuck there. They get stuck on, well, this is who God revealed ourselves to as our forefathers, and we're just, we won't move beyond it, right? And I think the church has had such a problem getting unstuck and finding out what new ground, so to speak, in God are we to take? What new revelation of who he is? Who is he revealing himself to in this generation? Who is he standing up for in this generation? What is he, who is he exposing himself to be to this generation of people? And so we get stuck on previous movements, and not that we leave those to gain new, we build upon them, but we can just get settled. But the spirit of a pioneer will say, you know what, there's more to God in God to be discovered, and I'm not willing to stay where I am, so I'm going to press forward. So that's what I want to talk about today, is that spirit of a pioneer, because like I said, I believe wholeheartedly that if you are going to really accomplish anything for God, you're going to have the spirit of a pioneer. If you are going to break, listen, generational cycles in your family, you're going to have the spirit of a pioneer. If you're going to want to accomplish within the realm of your family and your life more than any other generation before you has done or accomplished, right? You're going to have the spirit of a pioneer. If you want to see your children be the first ones to graduate college, right, in a family line, you are going to have and then instill in your children that spirit of a pioneer. Why? Because our default is to meet the expectation, to just meet up to what has come before us. Like, that's what we've known, that's what we've expected, that's what's expected of us, and we will only ever rise to that level of expectation as to what has come before us, right? Like, our default is comfort. Our default is to not push the limits. Our default is to stay the path. Our default is to just do what path has already been paved, with what's already been easy, what's already laid out in front of us. That's what is our default is. But the spirit of a pioneer will say, I see that path, but I think there's more. Right? Like, wasn't it Frost who said, you know, two paths, and one was less traveled, take the less traveled one. Why? Because it's that spirit of a pioneer. The risk is heavy, but the reward is great. Why? Because pioneers will go where no one else has gone, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and generationally. Listen, if you want to break some financial stuff off of your family and you don't want your kids to struggle where you have struggled and your parents have struggled. Like, I'll never forget, this was so eye-opening for me. Years ago, my mom and I were sitting and we were kind of talking about genealogy and our family lines, and her side of the family came over from Italy, and, you know, we were talking about what she knew about that. But one of the ways that we got over here is there was a priest who actually came to America and to start in ministry. But finances were such an issue for him that he ended up quitting the ministry and just took a secular job so that he could get his family over here and never went back to the ministry. And, you know, at that time, my mom was pastoring a small church in the little town of Columbia here. And, you know, finances were a struggle. And I said, Mom, isn't that something that generations ago, ministry was on the heart of this family, but finances were a roadblock or a hindrance of seeing it to come about. And here we were pastoring this little church in Columbia and just believing God, but finances were the key issue that, you know, the family was having. And I said, you know, I'm not a great fundraiser. People tell me, come on, you know, that's a part of the job. And I said, God, you have to give us victory in this area because there's something that was generational there about finances on ministry. And I said, we have to break this. Obviously, the call of God for ministry in our family has been long, but it's always been that source of finances that the enemy has used to stop the call of God from going forward. So a spirit of a pioneer has to rise up and says, well, we will not let that pass to another generation. Come on. And maybe in your family line, you think about your kids and what, you know, what you went through and what your parents went through, and you can kind of see some of that in your children. I'm here to say to you today, you do not have to settle for, well, that's just who we are. It's in our DNA. That's just par the course for us. You know, we're strong-willed people. We're, you know, we have short-tempered people. No, no, no. What you're saying is you're saying, I will accept generational curses and generational lines and have that be the substance of who I am. What you're really saying is I'm going to take the path of least resistance. But the spirit of a pioneer rises up and says, no more. Our family has walked this path. I've walked this path. I've been here before, and I won't be here again. So a pioneer says, I'm going to rise up out of the ashes of where I am, and I'm going to figure out, Lord, what's the missing link? What do I got to do? What do I got to explore? Teach me what you have to teach me. I'll take the road less traveled, because that's what a pioneer does. And I'm here to testify to you. It is so easy to go into default mode as a believer and say, well, I'm just going to do what we've always done. I'm going to be how we've always been. I'm going to take the path of least resistance. But listen, and I know this sounds so cliche because we've all heard it before, but if you want something you've never had before, what's the answer? Do something you've never done before. It was Einstein who said, doing the same thing continually and expecting different results is insanity. Like if this is what I've always done and it's always produced the same thing, the logical thing here is that I have to do something different. I got to believe something different. I got to take a new path here, right? Like I have to, you know, they even say that, you know, if people are struggling with substance abuse and drug abuse and, you know, one of the keys to their victory is they got to break cycle. They got to get out of that town. They got to get away from those same circle of friends. They got to do whatever it is. Why? Because the default will always be when I'm around the same friends and I'm in the same cycle and I'm in the same town, my default pattern. So what do? You almost have to shake, if you will, you know, the common status to break that cycle so that you can walk in freedom. And the same thing when you are just struggling to break that cycle, the spirit of a pioneer has to rise up on the inside of you that says, no, I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm going somewhere I've never been before. I'm leaning in, right? So let's look at your Bible for a second. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God calls Abraham and he says this, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago, and we understand this call came when he was in Haran, which is not where they were supposed to settle. It was kind of that midway point. They got comfortable there. And in their comfort, they ended up settling. And eventually, Abraham's father-in-law died. And what just says to us, when you settle, something dies. Anytime you settle outside of the will of God or the promise of God, something will always die. Maybe it's spiritually in your life, but there's that, or maybe it's that pioneering spirit that dies. Like you just, you've settled for status quo. But God calls to Abraham in that situation and says, get up from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Listen, Abraham went first, and every blessing that followed his life began first and foremost with his obedience, with just saying yes, just saying, I'll go to a land I've never been. I don't even know how to get there. You've not even shown it to me. But he just said, get up and go to the land that I will show you, right? Listen, going first often means leaving comfort. It often means leaving your reputation behind, or familiarity behind, or whatever. Going first means breaking the mold. It's not a place of comfort. It's not a place of the familiar. Listen, God doesn't give us a map. He gives us a word. Lord, how I wish I could change that. But he doesn't give us a map. He gives us a word. And he says, you obey first, then the next step comes. And that's the challenge. Listen, that's the scary part about being a pioneer and having a pioneering spirit, is God doesn't give us the map. Like, listen, if it's been mapped, then someone's been there before, right? Like going west doesn't involve much faith. If I can go, oh, right here, route 66, we'll take it the whole way across, you know? That doesn't require much faith. Why? Because someone's been there before and mapped the direction for you. Faith doesn't look like that. If you're going to walk in faith, you're going to have the spirit of a pioneer. Why? Because God never gives us a roadmap forward. He gives us a word. He said to Abraham, get up, go to the land that I will show you. Just start walking. I'll order your steps. I will take you there. But what I won't do is I won't give you a map. Why? Because a pioneering spirit is a spirit of faith, is a spirit that says, I don't know how to get there. We've never been there before. There's no roadmap for this, but I'm willing to go. I'm willing to take the step forward. What does pioneering look like for your life? What generational cycles need to be broken off of your life? What things have, man, just been holding you and your family back? And God's saying, will you get up? Will you blaze a new path? Listen, what you refuse to deal with, your children will have to deal with. What you refuse to break off of your family, off of those generational cycles, your children will have to deal with. And listen, I don't want my kids to have to deal with what I refuse to acknowledge and deal with. So it's time we got up. We got a pioneering spirit about us. We look into the unknown. We look into what is yet to be charted, what land there is yet to take in our family and in our life. And we say, God, I'll push off every bit of comfort, every bit of familiarity, and I will blaze a new path. I will go forward doing everything that you've called me to do. I will hit the mark. That's right, Jen. I will go after it. Why? Because that's where the reward is. The risk is high, but man, the blessing is great. A pioneer spirit is propelled by vision, not circumstance. A pioneering spirit is propelled by vision, not circumstance. Circumstance doesn't move you forward. A pioneering spirit. I was sharing this with a brother or sister the other day of often problems reveal God's next steps for us. Like we look when problems come into our world and we're like, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no. Has God forgotten about us? We think that problems are a bad thing, but problems typically reveal God's next step for us. Like the problem comes so that God can reveal to us where we are to go next. Are you with me? So we don't move by circumstance, but we are propelled by vision. If we only are moved by circumstance, we're just look at our circumstances and sum up, well, that this is all that there is. This is my lot in life. Instead, we can look at the circumstance and say, if this problem is continually arising in my life, it could be a sign that I have to lift up my eyes because there's a new territory to take. Right? There's new land to take, so I have to find that vision. Vision lifts you above your environment. Vision keeps you from settling halfway like Abraham's father, Terah, did in Haran, right? We talked about that. Pioneers aren't moved by what they see. They are moved by what God has said. They're not moved by what they see. They are moved by what God has said. So what is the word of the Lord over you, over your family, over your life? And you might be saying, well, how am I supposed to know what the word of God is? Listen, I've often taught people, God is not sitting in heaven with his arms crossed and saying, well, I hope you figure it out. I hope you can discover your purpose and destiny. And if you don't, well, that's not the nature of who God is. No, God's a loving God. God, you know, once his word, the Bible says his word is a light unto our path. It leads, guides, and directs us. God's waiting for us to inquire of him. Like, all you have to do is say, God, what's your heart for me? What is your heart for my family? Where do you want us to be? What's your vision for us? You know, Jeremiah 29:11, it says that you have plans for us, a hope and a future. What are they? And I believe that the Spirit of God, when you start asking, that's when God says, I've been waiting for you. And maybe you won't hear a tangible word, like voice screaming in your ear. Maybe you will. But you start to maybe, not even in that moment, but maybe as you move forward, get dreams and a vision, or start, you know, feeling unsettled in certain areas of your life. And often that unsettling is that stirring of God saying, don't settle here. Don't waste your life here. There's more. There's more beyond what you see. So I ask you, are you settling or are you seeing? Are you settling for what's familiar and what has been and what's been your family's portion and you know what's expected of you? Or are you seeing what God is saying? The Israelites were standing in the wilderness and their problem was they were moved by what they could see. Moses is on the mountain talking to God and they're down there in the desert and in the heat, frustrated. And why? Because they were looking at what they could see. So what did they do? They ended up building a golden calf. Why? Because the God that they couldn't see, they didn't have faith in. They wanted to have faith in something that they could see. So they built a golden calf. And as a result, they lost out on walking into their land of promise. But when you can move beyond what you see around you and move into seeing what God has said, because what did God say to them? I'll bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. If they would have kept their eyes fixed that this wilderness is not our home, this desert is not our destination, but there's a land flowing with milk and honey that God has promised us, that's where we're going. I know it's dry. I know we're thirsty. I know we're hungry. I know this is hard. I know this has been a challenge. I know we don't have a compass or a map to get there. But if I just keep my eyes fixed on what God has said, and not with what I'm seeing, then I will get to where I'm going. The easiest thing, and we've talked about this before, the easiest thing is to settle. The easiest thing is to retreat. The hardest thing is to maintain that spirit of a pioneer that says, I am created to saddle up my horses and blaze a new trail. I am gifted by God and created by God not to fall into the status quo Christian experience and be like everyone else. No, I am called to be uniquely me, designed and formatted with a specific purpose and destiny, with a mountain to climb, with a land to claim. There's a call and a purpose attached to you and your life, you and your family. So you have to have that spirit of a pioneer that rises up and says, enough is enough. Maybe divorce has been like the common thing in your family line. And it's like, oh, here goes another one. It's time for you to rise up and break that cycle, break that spirit. Maybe drug addiction or alcoholism has been something that just has attacked your family over and over and over again. Don't put that on the shoulders of your children. You rise up. You break that cycle. You take new ground. You become a pioneer. Maybe finances, man, you know, your families have just struggled to break the cycle of poverty, but come on, don't you dare make your children be the one to have to bear that weight. You rise up in the spirit of faith, in the spirit of a pioneer, and says, no, I'm taking new ground here. I'm going where we've never been before. I may not see it all. I think of David, who had the heart to rebuild the temple. And in the, at that point, the temple was just kind of that tabernacle that went with them. And David said, we have to build a temple, a permanent place for the dwelling place of God. And he wasn't able to see it all fulfilled, but he set in course. The Bible says that David was the one who started to gather the supplies and gather what they would need to build the temple so that when he handed over the reins to his son, things were already set in motion that now all Solomon had to do was piece together what his father had laid the groundwork for. Come on, let's rise up in the spirit of a pioneer. God raises up pioneers to end cycles of addiction, end cycles of poverty, end cycles of passivity, end cycles of silence in families and in communities. I believe that one of the calls of God on this generation, and you can see it worked out even just in our young people, is that call for justice, for righteousness. I heard Bobby Houston say that years ago. She said in the previous move of God, God was knocking people on the floor in the spirit, making them slain in the spirit, knocking them on the floor. But she said in this move of God, God is standing them up and making them fight for justice. And you can see that just in our culture today, you know, outside of, in the realms of the church is, you know, the culture just fighting. We want justice. Now, their view of justice sometimes is not biblically, but often that's a sign of what God is doing in the earth. And for some family cycles, there's been patterns of injustice that have happened. And it's time to stand up and say, it ends here. It ends today. I'm putting my foot down. I'm coming with the spirit of a pioneer and saying no more. Listen, what you defeat now becomes an inheritance for your children. As I told you, Solomon inherited all that David stored up to build the temple. What you defeat today, your children will inherit as freedom. So what cycles is God calling you to interrupt? Think of Gideon, who tore down altars of Baal and built new ones to the Lord. What things have kind of been doing their rounds? The cycle can end with you. A pioneering spirit requires private consistency. Luke 5:16 says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would withdraw, speaking of Jesus, to desolate places to pray. A pioneering spirit requires private consistency. Why? Because pioneering will never earn you the applause or the approval of a crowd. It will never do it. Why? And I've said this time and time again, and I hate to keep repeating Taylor Swift, but the lyric of her song, people throw rocks at things that shine, I think speaks to this through and through. When someone rises up to break a cycle or a pattern or starts rising up to live their dream or live what God's called them to do, it shines a light on others who have settled for the status quo. So in order to not feel bad about yourself, if you have decided to settle, when someone breaks pack and says, you know what, I have to go for more. Those who have settled back into their settling, right, into the status quo, looks at that and says, you can't do that because it reveals to me that I've settled in life. So what do I got to do? I got to convince you that that's dumb, that's stupid. Don't you dare go there. Why would you risk it? Why would you lay all this down? Why just settle where you are? And it's not because that's what they really believe. It's because if they allow you to do it, it reveals the inadequacies of themselves. So when you step up with a pioneering spirit and says, no, I know that's been the pattern. I know that's been the cycle, but it will be that no more. What begins to happen is you are going to bring all kind of chaos out of the woodwork, all kind of naysayers out of the woodwork to try to bring you down to their level. And that's why to have a pioneering spirit, it's going to require private consistency, because you're not going to get the direction. You're not going to get the fuel that you need from the public sphere. You're not going to get it many times from your family, and many times you won't even get it from your friends or your family, or even sometimes your church. Why? Because for those who would press in for more, because if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. And anytime somebody shakes the mold, it scares people. What are they doing and why are they doing it? We've never seen it done this way. It's never happened like this before. What's going on here? Why can't they just sit down, be quiet, sit still, and shut up? It rattles people's cages. So the fuel that you need, the life that you need in the heart of a pioneer to move forward, to gain new ground in life, to take new territories in God, is never going to be found with you. Or typically, maybe you got one or two good friends or family members who, you know, will fan that flame. But typically, it's always going to be found in that private place of prayer between you and God. When all day long you've been hearing the naysayers and the negative voices and the enemy screaming and everything set in opposition to you, but you come back to that private place of prayer and you hear the voice of the Father. Reminds you again, get up from where you are. Go to a land that I will show you. And you say, okay, that's the fuel that I needed. Jesus pioneered the kingdom through public power, but practiced it through private devotion. What he did in public was fueled through his private devotion. Listen, you can't pioneer outwardly what you haven't built inwardly. Secret places always build public authority. Long before it's ever built in public, it is first pioneered in the spirit and through prayer. So to take ground where we start is often to withdraw, to get alone with God, and ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is the cycle? What's the pattern that has to be broken here? Understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. We fight spiritually. We stay focused. We keep building. But often taking that ground means we get alone with God. We get in the spirit. We read his word. We stay steadfast. Why? Because you're not going to get the approval that you're looking for from anything else but the Spirit of God. You're not going to get, you know, people blowing wind. Here's what often happens is, yep, when you get the ground, when you take the territory, then everyone wants to celebrate, right? But nobody wanted to be there when you were packing up and saying, listen, I'm going into the unknown. Listen, you can't pioneer with willpower. You need spirit power. Every move of God begins with someone's yes to the Holy Spirit. The early church broke new ground because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, not filled with fear, right? They pioneered new ground. They took cities. The Bible says they turned cities upside down. They took new territory. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They waited in that upper room until power came. We don't pioneer in our own strength, but we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more I wanted to say on this, but we are running short on time today, so we will continue this again. But let me leave you with this today. You have two choices in life. you can say, I will take the road of least resistance. The road that I know. The path that's been laid out in front of me. Been well traveled. Well explored. Its ending is expected. I can see the outcome. It'll be the outcome that generations before me experienced and had. And that's fine. You can do that. You can choose that. But I believe today God is looking for some people who says, I can't go through another cycle. There's something in me that's calling out for something greater ahead. Something in me that says, I have to leave this world fulfilling the plan and the call of God on my life. And I can't do that staying where I am, staying in the cycle and pattern of where I've been. I need God to create that pioneering spirit in me to help me blaze a new trail forward. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. Father, I believe that in the name of Jesus, you are calling some people right now. You are speaking to some people right now in this moment. They have felt unsettled. They have felt uneasy. They have felt like they've been wrestling and they didn't know against what. They didn't know why they just could never feel settled. But I believe today you're revealing and you're speaking to people. It's because they have a spirit of a pioneer on the inside of them that could not accept and refuse to just bow low to the common of life's experience. They couldn't fit into the mold that generations before them set. They just knew there was a new pattern and a new territory, a different trajectory to their life. They knew they were called for something more than they could see around them. And today, Father, I pray that you reveal to them that they have the spirit of a pioneer. And maybe that means in relationships, maybe that means in finances, maybe that means new territories in faith, maybe it means that new territories in ministry. It can mean so many things for them, Father, but I ask that you would reveal that to them. And that, Lord, that you would draw them in and begin to speak to them, show them the land that you have for them, the land of faith, the land of promise. And that your Holy Spirit would begin to call them. And that we would always give our yes to the call of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Why do I think this is a summer message? I started off this whole thing talking about, you know, in summer, I try to bring something. I don't know. When summer breaks the mold, if you will. Like even in church life, we know attendance drops in summer. But we, as a pastor, you look forward to September, right? Because September, families kind of get back into the rhythm and the patterns. Kids go back to school. You know, all of that stuff just begins to happen. So church attendance usually swings back September, October. And, you know, but summer, we break the mold of our routines. We pack up our families in cars and go to places. We sit on the shores and look out over the vast ocean. And I just encourage you, as you break the mold tangibly this summer, as you vacation and you go to new places, new grounds, as you sit back on the beach at some point this summer and you listen to those waves and you see the vastness of the ocean of God, just keep this message of a spirit of a pioneer in your heart. And say, Lord, before I settle back into the routines this fall, before I get back into the pattern of what I know and what's, you know, is there something more that you're calling me to? Can you look at the vastness? You know, that's one of the greatest things that mission trips, you know, I did when I was younger, did many mission trips around the world. And one of the things that just teaches you is it breaks out because you just think your life is your little town and your little community. And sometimes I still think about that because, you know, we'd be over in Africa or down in Honduras or some different land, and you're just looking at people who just, they do life so different, but yet the vastness of our planet, you just miss sometimes, you know, and you just, sit back. Sometimes I still sit back and I think, you know, God's still at work all over this world. Like right now, there are people on the other side. Like, just break the mold that it's not just me and mine in my little world here. And my routines and my habits. And but this summer, as you break the mold of the ordinary, I'm praying that the spirit of a pioneer ignites on the inside of you. And you will settle for nothing less than walking into the land of promise for you, for your family, and for generations to come. Thank you so much for being with me today. I will be back all this week as we open up the Word of God together and move forward in the spirit of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.